Thanks for listening to The Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for The Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go on a Wednesday live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. 1 hour from now, Joel Klatt will yell at me about college football. 30 minutes from now, Nick Wright will yell at me about everything. It is great to have you in. Joy Taylor is joining me today. They're still celebrating in Los Angeles, home of the world champion Los Angeles Lakers. And feel it in the air here. It's a winner's town.
It was a Hollywood season, so they deserve it.
And now LeBron's gloating. We'll get to that in a bit. Yeah. He's in gloating stage, and I'm here for it. Let me start with this. First impressions matter. And we all know that. I'm not telling you something you don't know. First impressions matter. The first time you meet somebody, you see somebody, first impressions matter. So what is the difference between Baltimore, the Ravens? We all love them. Everybody loves the Ravens. Everybody's in on the Ravens. Me included. What's the difference between them and the Tennessee Titans, who we all kind of roll our eyes and dismiss? They both have a good head coach. They both live and die with a running game. The pass rush for both is meh. So it must be the quarterback. That is the big difference. Lamar is amazing, and Tannehill's kind of a stiff. Okay, so first impressions matter. Our first impression of Ryan Tannehill is, Miami's so-so, 500, 8-8. Our first impression of Lamar is, oh my God, he's faster than Michael Vick. Oh my God. Let's go to their last 17 games, because Ryan Tannehill's only been a starter for 17 games in Tennessee with this staff. Oh my. It's the same quarterback. Tannehill actually has a little better TD to interception ratio. More passing yards, higher completion percentage, better pass rate. Oh, by the way, in that stretch, Lamar can run, though. Well, that's funny, because in that stretch, Lamar has 7 rushing touchdowns, Tannehill 6. And oh, by the way, they played in a playoff game in Baltimore when they actually had crowds in the NFL, and Ryan Tannehill won and outplayed him. Now, I'm not in any way saying Ryan Tannehill is Lamar Jackson, but first impressions kind of matter, right? And our impression of Tennessee for years has been 9-7, 9-7, 9-7. And then you combine that with Ryan Tannehill first impression, and it's like, well, he's kind of an 8-8 guy. No. With this team and this coach and Derrick Henry and this support system and that offensive coordinator is really good. No, Ryan Tannehill, he's a top 12 quarterback in the league, as is Lamar Jackson. Ryan Tannehill is not some pocket stiff who can't run. He had 42 rushing yards last night on 4 rushes and a touchdown. And Lamar Jackson, similarly, is not just some guy that runs around and can't pass. But if you look at the numbers last night against Sean McDermott, one of the best defensive minds in the NFL, 130 passer rating, 21 of 28, 3 touchdowns, no picks, and he was mobile. Tennessee has been so 9-7 and so boring for so long, the Marcus Mariota years, we've just come to expect they're a little better than average. And Ryan Tannehill of Miami is kind of average. No, we need to reboot this, because we all love Baltimore, me included, and we all dismiss Tennessee, and we all love Lamar, and we all dismiss Ryan Tannehill. I'm talking about me. Maybe we need to reboot this. Maybe they're the same. Running games, quarterbacks that can move and throw, very good coordinators. I mean, Baltimore's offensive coordinator, Greg Roman, is a legendary coordinator who took Colin Kaepernick to Lamar. He's got this system down pat, very hard to defend. Who's the best young offensive coordinator in football? A lot of people think it's the guy with the Titans. So, you know, sometimes you just have to get away from what you believed. First impressions are very, very powerful. And I watched Tennessee last night, and I'm like, what's the difference between them and the Ravens? I don't know if there is. I don't know if Tannehill, with this staff and this coach and Derrick Henry and this environment and this offensive coordinator, I don't see a massive gap. Now, I think Lamar's a little more explosive, but I saw him playing a playoff game, and I watched Tannehill last night. In 17 games, he's 13-4, and I've seen him go up against good quarterbacks. All I know is we have to rethink what we think about Tennessee. Because Buffalo's good, and Tennessee last night did not have 8 starters and 2 assistant coaches, and they housed them. Buffalo's not going to lose that badly all year. They're not going to lose to the Patriots like that. They're not going to lose next Monday night to the Chiefs like that. Buffalo will not lose like that the rest of the year. Tennessee's for real. We dismiss them. We love Baltimore. I'd argue it's the same team. One's just cooler. One we just talk about more. All right, so I used to live right near Boston. And I used to live in Tampa. So I have a sense of kind of the sensibility of Boston and Connecticut. Very principled, prep schools, very academic, very rigid, very political. And I lived in Tampa for a couple years. Tampa's loose and Ybor City and fun and cocktails early. Pate had the most strip clubs per capita in America when I was there. Whatevs. It also has Lightning. But my concern when Tom Brady went from Boston to Tampa, joy is my witness, was not about changing wide receivers. It was not about changing addresses. It was not about changing coordinators. It was about the sensibility. It was changing cultures. Tom's a winner. Tampa's losers. And we're already now 3.5, 4 days removed from Tom yelling at teammates. What game was that? That was Thursday. So we're 6 days removed from Tom yelling at teammates. And it is still a story. They're still asking him about it. They're still talking about it. This was my concern. It's easy to change uniforms. It's easy to change receivers. It's easy to change offenses. Try turning losers into winners. New England is about academics and detailed and button up. This year, the New England Patriots, and by the way, they have a brand new quarterback. They should have a bunch of offensive penalties. You know how many they have? 3. Tampa's got Tom Brady. Jameis Winston's no longer there. They will clean it up. You know how many offensive penalties they have? 8 times that. 25. The standards are different. And Tom's trying to change the standards. Bruce Arians was asked yesterday again about Brady yelling.
Just be yourself. I don't have any problem with it. At least I don't have to go back there and cuss them out. They've already got the air full by the time I get over there. So Tom's got to be Tom. I'm not going to ask him to be somebody different. He does a good job of patting him on the back, too. He might explode, but he's going to go down there and pat him on the back and get him going.
Yeah, they don't remember that. They remember this video. And it's amazing how much flack Brady's taken over this. Folks, Michael Jordan went to the Wizards. He was easily their best player. Do you remember how much pushback Michael Jordan, the greatest basketball player of all time, got when he went to the Wizards? He's mean. Michael doesn't understand young players. He played with all sorts of young players in Chicago. Michael was a winner. The Wizards were losers. And he could never overcome it. When LeBron first got to the Lakers, they were a mess. And it was all these young kids. And LeBron came in and had standards. This. LeBron is out. He doesn't under. They got rid of all the young players. By the way, when Michael Jordan first got to the Chicago Bulls, you remember the funny line during the 10-part documentary? They called him the traveling cocaine circus. It was a bunch of drug guys and a bunch of guys that wanted points. And Michael Jordan walked in and was like, no. I come from North Carolina. I got aspirational dreams here. Michael's a winner. His business is a winner. His basketball is a winner. He was a winner in college. He was a winner in high school. He was a winner in the pros. Michael's a winner. But Michael couldn't change all those Bull players. He couldn't. They just wanted to score points. He couldn't change them. He had to get rid of them. And he couldn't change the Wizards. And LeBron, he couldn't change those early Laker players. He had to get them shipped off. This has always been my number one concern with Brady. He'll figure out the wide receiver. He and Mike Evans already get along great. He'll figure out Leonard Fournette. He'll figure out the rookie right tackle. He'll figure out Todd Bowles in the defense. He'll figure out Bruce Arians. But they have 25 penalties. New England, they have a new quarterback too. Cam Newton had about 4 practices, 3 offensive penalties. Changing cultures is hard. Being content is the enemy of great. And Tampa's always been sort of pretty good draft. 9-7, 8-8. A 9-penalty game. 9 penalty games in New England, they just don't happen. If they do, They don't happen the next week. So I think it's really interesting that we are now almost a week removed from a 10-second Tom Brady outburst. And we're still talking about it. He had those all the time in New England. He had two of those last year in New England. We didn't talk about it. Because the standards in New England, Boston, that region, are higher for football and sports. The Celtics win. The Bruins can win. The Red Sox have won. The Patriots have won. The culture of Boston is you shout, you scream, you get it right, you yell, you win. And it's understood it's part of the fabric of success. In Tampa, Tom barks at an offensive lineman. 6 days later, Tom is, what did you make of Tom yelling at people? That's how you get crap done in sports. Games are live. You can't sit down and put your arm around. Let's have a long talk with Dad. You got to be on the field in 9 seconds. Bark, let's go. Get it done. Get it corrected. I want that. This is what happens in sports. Michael yelled. The late Kobe yelled. Charles Barkley yelled. Steve Kerr has yelled. Kevin Durant's yelled. Brady's yelled. Peyton Manning's yelled. And Patrick Mahomes hasn't yelled yet, but he will in the next 10 years. Good stuff. Still whining about that in Tampa. Poor Tommy yelled at somebody. Coming up next, outside of LeBron, where you land in sports matters. I think mostly we know that, but we know it more this morning than we did yesterday because of one NFL player and what's happened to his career. We'll talk about that.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
It's October. What does that mean? It's my favorite spot of the year. It's Geico-ween. Don't be spooked by high rates in car insurance. Get a quote today at geico.com. Geico-ween. An ad executive probably laughed and giggled all the way home after they wrote that. They thought, I nailed it. Geico-ween. So Le'Veon Bell got released by the New York Jets. Let me unpack this a little bit because I actually think he's been a good soldier there. I mean, he you know, sometimes he goes to Twitter instead of talk to the boss, but it's 2020. He didn't grumble. He's not quite elite anymore. Next generation stats tell you since the start of last season, despite the fact the O-line's bad, they take that into consideration. He's kind of in the Todd Gurley class, the Peyton Barber, the Devontae Freeman. He's not what he used to be. Running backs get old. It's not just the Jets' offensive line. He doesn't have the burst. They were saying in camp he looks slow. The kid they drafted out of Florida behind him looks to have more of a more movement. I like Le'Veon Bell. I've had him on the show. I think he's a gamer. But I think the cautionary tale of this, and the Jets put him out to 31 teams. They just wanted a seventh-round pick. They couldn't get it. So it's there's no market for him. Very interesting. Antonio Brown, in my opinion, was the best receiver in the NFL when he left Pittsburgh. His career's over. Le'Veon Bell was a top three running back. He can catch it. He can run it. And his career is kind of like flattened out, right? Or it's over. I don't think it's over, but there's not much left. Take LeBron James out of it. Every athlete in America, take LeBron out of it. And you could say that occasionally for international soccer, for a Ronaldo or a Messi. But for 99.9% of talk show hosts and athletes, where you land matters and who you're surrounded by really matters. Tucker Carlson is the hottest thing on cable TV. He was invisible for 10 years. I'm not sure. It was like witness protection. Where'd he go? He ended up on Fox News. Oh, there are a lot of people watch that. Now he's a star. He was invisible for 10 years. Bill O'Reilly was invisible for 10 years before he got there and had a 20-year cable run. The reality is, outside of LeBron James and maybe Oprah, okay, where you land matters, who you're supported by. If you're a skill person in the NFL, do not leave Andy Reid. Take less money. If you've got Sean Payton, if you have Russell Wilson, if you have Aaron Rodgers, take a little less money. You don't leave Russell Wilson as a wide receiver. You shouldn't leave Aaron Rodgers. Don't leave Andy Reid. Do not leave Sean Payton, and don't leave the Pittsburgh Steelers. Antonio Brown had the perfect team. It was a top three offensive line and the best deep ball thrower in the league, pre Mahomes. It was perfect. I got my issues with Big Ben. Too much drama. Woe is me, Ben. Can still sail a ball over a running back in the flat like nobody else can. But on deep balls, and how do you throw deep balls if you have time to throw? Pittsburgh had a great offensive line. Le'Veon Bell had that style where he sat and he waited for the offensive. It was like didn't look like any other running back. It was just perfect. For both of them, it was perfect. This is a franchise in Pittsburgh that has had three coaches since 1969. The Jets have had three in 6 years. Take LeBron James out. Le'Veon should have never left. AB should have never left. And I'm not saying it was all their fault. Big Ben's a handful. But man, AB to me still should be the best receiver in the league. And Le'Veon Bell should still be a top five running back. They were magic. But you go to the Jets, you go to the wrong team, and it's amazing how often it can all unravel. 31 teams. Jets called reportedly all of them. Not a taker for a seventh round pick for Le'Veon Bell. It's a bummer because I love watching him play. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Aaron Rodgers has been putting up MVP level numbers this season.
I don't think he's been. Has he been? He hasn't thrown a pick yet. And he hasn't been sacked yet.
He has, no interceptions. 13 touchdowns, no interceptions. He has led the Packers to a 4-0 start, and Matt LaFleur couldn't say enough good things about his quarterback's performance so far. He said, I think our quarterback's playing at a really high level right now. Well, like he has his entire career, but he's playing really, really lights out. And we're just playing good team football. Anytime there's what's deemed a controversial decision or whatever, you have to answer the questions. But I like where we're at right now, and there's a lot in front of us. I know that.
Well, they play a really good defense this week. And I think the best coordinator in the NFL is either, I'll just say Todd Bowles is in my top two. So this is not going to be, so they've faced, the Packers this year have faced the 30th ranked defense, the 29th, the 28th, and the 26th. Now they face the second.
No, this will be a good test for the
Packers. Real test for Green Bay.
And I was very wrong about the Packers. Yeah. And it wasn't really that I doubted Aaron Rodgers, because I never doubt Aaron Rodgers.
We didn't think they were going to be bad. We just didn't think they were going to be 13-3.
No, and I thought that the controversy in the offseason with the draft and with Jordan Love and all the questions that surrounded it, it just kind of felt like this might be one of the relationship between Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers might not be as cheeky as we,
right,
you know, as it appeared to be. You know, they're saying everything's cool, but why is this happening? And yeah, they're playing amazing football right now. This weekend of games is great.
Oh, this is the so Cleveland Pittsburgh's great. Aaron against Tom is great. Buffalo Kansas City Monday night is great. There's another game I like. I actually think the Rams San Francisco is going to end up being really, really good, because they were so bad last week. The Niners were.
Yeah, Garoppolo.
They were so
better.
Bad. That line's only like a field goal now. Watch San Francisco. When teams get embarrassed, good teams, watch them come back and give the Rams fits this week.
I still think Russell Wilson is leading the MVP conversation because he's overcoming more
easily.
But Aaron Rodgers is definitely
second,
right there with him. Yes. So the Eagles have the challenge of taking on Lamar Jackson and the Ravens this weekend. And defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz talked about how difficult it is to plan for a player as dynamic as Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson's probably the most dangerous player in the league, because there are times you can do everything right on defense and can't catch him. I think that you got to have a resilient attitude when you play him, and you know that a playmaker like him is going to make some plays. You just have to limit his big plays.
Yeah, that's a good way. Just don't let the previous play beat you again, because he's going to pop. He's going to burn you at some point.
This looks like a loss for the Eagles.
This is one of my blazing five picks.
Is it?
I like Baltimore a lot this weekend.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they lost to the Steelers last weekend, obviously 38-29. But that's rough to go off of a loss like that to the Steelers into Baltimore. So the Eagles schedule coming up. Obviously they just lost to the Steelers, they have the Ravens. So they have the Giants week after that, so that could be a nice little get-back game. And then the Cowboys. That's an in-division game.
I think Philadelphia is better than Dallas. I think their defense will decide that game. So I take Philadelphia over Dallas.
Yeah, I do not. I disagree with you there. But then they play the Giants again, and then they have the Browns. So then it gets a lot more difficult after that. It's just it's been a really rough start for the Eagles. And to come off of that Steelers loss into the Baltimore Ravens, who played great this last week, and obviously you have Lamar Jackson. I don't know. I'm thinking it could be a rough stretch for the Eagles.
It's weird. I like a lot of great quarterbacks. I'm starting to see a trend in the NFL, and I've always loved underdogs, but man, there's a lot of favorites this week. There's a lot of Mahomes only has to give up a field goal here, and Lamar only has to give up a touchdown here.
I don't know.
I've always been a take the underdog guy, but I
you usually do.
But you start looking around the league, and I despite what happened to Kansas City last weekend, I'm like,
but there were a lot of blowouts last weekend.
Yeah, I'll tell you something. We gotta revisit what Tennessee is, because Tennessee and Baltimore, to me, I don't see a big gap.
They were really impressive.
Missing
last night.
Eight players, two coaches, blew out a really good Buffalo team.
Finally, Ben Roethlisberger was critical of his performance Sunday against the Eagles, saying he needs to connect more on deep throws. And Mike Tomlin believes Ben's self-criticism this year stems from getting a new perspective on the game after sitting out for most of 2019.
Sometimes, you know, when you have the perspective that he has now, you know, he watched the bulk of football, in 2019. And oftentimes, when you get removed from your role and you get to watch it from a different perspective, it might change your perspective on performance and evaluation thereof.
I think that Ben has been really impressive since he's been back. I didn't know what to expect from him.
His completion percentage has gone up. He looks good. He looks like he's a little thinner. He's in better shape.
He's 69.9 completion percentage, 1,016 yards, 10 touchdowns, and one interception.
With a lot of young receivers.
And they're 4-0.
He's been good. By the way, let me help all you TV executives that hang around all day and get big contracts and just eat donuts. When Mike Tomlin retires, hire him on television.
Oh, yeah. He is
going to be so good on. He talks in 8-second sound bites. He's literally, it's like if in football, when you're an analyst, you have to talk in 8-second sound bites. He is literally been doing it for 20 years.
He has the ability to go from such an intense, quietly intense person.
Yeah.
So when he gets in front of the microphone, it's like this explosion of energy. It's such a story.
John Gruden was that. John talked in 8-second sound bites. That's why John Gruden was a television star. Mike Tomlin is Gruden.
Yeah, he's amazing.
He's a defensive version of John Gruden. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live News.
Maybe Nick Wright won't be as obnoxious this week. Kansas City got rolled at home. I'll get to that in a second. What's it like to lose football games? I don't know. For 20 years, I didn't know what it was like in New England, living up there in Connecticut. Let's not waste any time. Brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. You know what? I'm not going to start with the Chiefs. There's no reason to rub it in. Friends? Don't rub it into friends. I'm not even going to go to Mahomes initially. That didn't look very good to me. There's a lot of trouble in Kansas City, obviously. But let's start with this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's certainly not Tannehill, who I heard your ode to this morning. Yeah, Mahomes, no Tannehill. You're right. Go ahead. Start wherever you want.
Okay. LeBron's legacy. Most people are saying, he was always, this is like Tiger Woods winning another golf tournament. It doesn't change his legacy or anything. You know, great's great, whatever. That's kind of my feeling on it. But you do think this is sort of adding a little bit, more than a little bit, to LeBron's legacy.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, of course it is. The guy's 35 years old. He's in year 17. And he just shot 59% in the finals. He was better on twos in this finals, Colin, than any player has been in any playoffs ever. So think about that. LeBron was better on twos than any Shaquille O'Neal playoff run, when all he was doing was dunking on Rick Smits's head. So yeah, that I know we live in this world where Michael Jordan can gain more legacy points for having a documentary come out than LeBron can for winning a damn title, but I'm not going to abide by it, and I'm not going to let folks act like, oh, this was a fait accompli, no one doubted this team, when some of my favorite media personalities picked against them in every single round.
Well, let me say this. I mean, now LeBron's out there now, Nick. He is gloating. He's on social media. He's just lighting a cigar. Yeah. I mean, isn't he above all that nonsense?
No. And I thought, listen, everyone's focused on the and I want my damn respect. And that was a great line. But the next part I thought was the most telling, because what he immediately followed that up with is, I've never missed a playoff game. And that is an unprecedented and unbelievable streak. 260 out of 260 times his teams have had to tip off for the NBA playoffs, he has been out there. Not one twisted ankle, not one dislocated shoulder, not one time was he not there for his team. And listen, I think it's relatively easy early in your career when you are trying to prove yourself to make sure at the very least I'll always be there. Not to compare myself to LeBron, but I will just for a moment. I've never missed a day of television, ever. I've never taken an extra vacation day. The show wasn't off. I've never called in sick because I'm still trying to make my way. But at one point, you know, God willing, if I'm ever Colin Cowherd, maybe I also will be vacationing in Utah quite often. Who knows? LeBron don't do that. LeBron's just there. He's like, I don't know who else is going to be there, but I am going to be there every single day for my team, and I'm going to, for the last decade, every year except for the year he tore his groin, play in the final game of the season and leave no question whatsoever who the best player still is.
You know, it's interesting. I was saying this bubble was a lot of things, but it made me, it honestly, because I do think leadership is part of being great, just like quarterback play. Nobody ever talks about pre-snap reads. And I think that's why Russell Wilson is like the best football player on the earth. Mahomes just has more quarterback talent, but Russell's literally audibling out of trouble. Like, he doesn't even throw in completions now. LeBron's leadership in the bubble was unbelievable. Sure. And after this bubble, I never thought I would say this. I think the gap is greater between LeBron and the second player as he goes into his 18th year. I never thought I would say that. I honestly think seconds Kawhi.
1,000% agree.
You do.
Well, think about this. So you said the seconds Kawhi.
Yes.
I think KD would be the obvious choice, but we got it. What KD are we getting?
Right, right.
32 years old, coming off an Achilles.
Right.
It's tough. The gap between LeBron, let's call it Kawhi, and Kawhi, is greater than the gap between Kawhi and the ex-best player. The 8th best player, Luka Doncic. The 10th best player, Jimmy Butler. Like, think about that. The gap between, this is where you use Tiger Woods as an example earlier. At one point in his career, the gap between Tiger and the second best golfer in the world was bigger than the gap between the second best golfer, Phil Mickelson, and the 20th best golfer, who Seve Ballesteros, whoever the hell it was. That only seems to be growing. And Seve Ballesteros probably was a little old by then, but you know what I'm talking
about. Yeah,
yeah. Like, that only seems to be growing. And so I do think, listen, LeBron does not need 6 rings to be better than Michael Jordan. But for those folks that say he will, you've got to recognize, if right now, Colin, if I set his over-under on rings at 5, not 5.5, at 5, which side are you taking? What do you think is more likely? He never wins another one, or he wins 2? I think it's clearly the over. I think if you set it at 5, you have to take the over. Because how are you going to bet on him not winning another ring? How are you going to bet on him when, at worst case scenario for him, when he's 40, he can be a rich man's Jason Kidd?
Yeah.
And Jason Kidd's the 42nd greatest player of all time. And he can just be that forever if he wants to. So I don't know how his game is going to age entirely, but I know, barring horrifying injury, it's going to age beautifully.
2 football topics. Number one, I always had one concern about Brady. Intense, detailed, buttoned-up environment. He's an overachiever, aspirational, and he goes to cocktails at 5:30, loosey-goosey, Ybor City, fun Tampa. I didn't care about changing offenses or coaches. What I cared about is the culture in Tampa has a very low standard. And having lived in Connecticut, the culture is academic. It's prep schools. The Bruins win. The Red Sox win. The Patriots win. The Celtics win. Winning is absolutely, there is no content. You win or you're a loser. And in Tampa, you get to the playoffs to celebrate. And he yells at a teammate 6 days later people are still asking about yelling at a teammate. I think it is something. I do think this is going to be a struggle. Am I wrong?
No, so I agree with almost everything you said. I don't know if I'd lump the Celtics in with the winners. They have won titles since the Berlin Wall fell, so they're kind of holding the rest of the city down. But otherwise, you're spot on. So a couple things here, Colin. One is this. While there was so much kvetching last year about Brady doesn't have weapons, he doesn't have enough help, what he did have was the most detail-oriented, well-coached, precise team in the league. And now he's in Tampa. He's got all these weapons, and they're constantly in third and 15 because the center headbutts a guy, and it's not sitting so well with him. Where I will defend Tom's teammates to a degree is this. If you are going to demand perfection or execution or attention to detail from your teammates, it's probably best that the only two categories that you lead the league in not be pick sixes and forgetting what down it is. So maybe Brady should be a little better if he's going to dog cuss his teammates. But in general, I agree with you.
Well, that felt kind of cheap, but funny nonetheless. Okay, finally. I don't know. Yeah. You know, we're getting kind of used to Mahomes falling into these crevices and these deficits. And this past weekend, he couldn't get out of it. And listen, we know Kansas City's got a lot of brain power and offense and a lot of talent, and their coordinators always get head jobs. But, you know, a little sloppy to me. You know, one of these holes you couldn't dig out. Aren't you a little troubled?
Yeah.
Little troubled by what you saw against the Raiders?
Oh, I'm bummed because they had a real shot at 21 straight wins, which is the 03-04 Patriots record. Once they got through Baltimore, that was on the table. Instead, it snaps at 13, so they're going to have to start a new streak. The streak of never losing a football game by more than one score since Mahomes has taken over, though, is still alive, so I'll take some solace in that. Also, I thought it was very cute how many people were very – once they lost to the Raiders, oh, and you know who's next? Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. Watch out, the next face of the AFC. And then they get their teeth kicked down their throat on national television by Ryan Tannehill and company, and we're just going to, you know, ignore that for a bit. So, listen, the Chiefs' offensive line has to be better.
Yes.
The defense against the Raiders played the worst game it's played in 2 years, so they need to snap back into it. But I think right now it is a little in vogue to say, oh, you know, the Chiefs, they may be a little overrated. I would just venture to the audience or anyone thinking that, if I say I will take the Chiefs, you can have any other team in the AFC. Is that a deal you're taking? My guess is no, because they did dominate the Ravens. I know, Colin, you're all of a sudden you really like Tennessee. Prior to last night, their three wins had come by a combined 6 points, so I'm going to hold out a valuation on them, and we'll get to see them play the Buffalo Bills here this coming Monday night. So I'll still take the Chiefs versus the AFC field. And we'll see how it works out. But unfortunately, they're not going to go 16-0. I thought they could. They're not going to win 21 straight. I think 14-2 is probably going to have to be enough.
I mean, look at him. The Chiefs are winning Super Bowls, and the Lakers are winning.
Yes,
look
sir.
At him. This is when my teams win, I'm humble. I'm just very gracious. I mean, he has a good 6 months. Look at him here. It's just...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you have been handling Russell Wilson's MVP year with nothing but grace and aplomb. There's been no I told you so's at any point. Check the tapes, America.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Get
this
out
guy.
Of here. All right, Nick Wright, first things first. Good
I'll talk to you later.
All right. Well, it's nice when your teams win. If he's got Lakers winning, LeBron winning. He won a lot of bets, personal bets on that.
Yeah, I mean, Nick has the right to quote right now. He was right about the Clippers.
He was right about the Lakers.
He was right about the Lakers.
He was right about the Chiefs last year. He's had a good 6 month run.
Yes.
Nobody's 8 month run. He's at, you know. Coming up next, they're getting along great, but there's a reason Aaron and his coach are getting along great. We'll talk about that coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Upgrade to wiper blades built for the winter, only available at Walmart. Michelin Endurance XD silicone wiper blades. They last 2 times longer than other blades. So Hollywood couples almost always end in divorce, but they start really well. And what happens is two good-looking people, because, you know, what basically actors do is they pretend for a living. And so they go on a movie set, and she's pretending to do something, and he's pretending to be a pirate. and they're pretending, and then they sometimes hook up and have kids who are baby pretenders, and everything's going great, and the careers are great as they pretend to be stuff they're really not. They don't really write it. They just perform it, and they're good-looking, and their cheekbones are perfect. And then one of their careers kind of, and then they don't like each other. Because, you know, actors, then instead of pretending, they really get a divorce because all of a sudden there's bumps in the road and it's not perfect and the careers aren't on fire and everybody doesn't love them and they're not adored. And what am I talking about? Smart, good-looking, successful people. It's very easy to get along because people just stand at your feet and tell you how great you are. And Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur, I saw a story this morning, they're just getting along great. Well, yeah, because they don't throw interceptions or get sacked because they played four crappy defenses. They've faced the 30th, 29th, 28th, and 26th ranked defense, and they've scored 30-plus points in all their games. Of course Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur are getting along. If they weren't getting along, you'd have real problems. You know when Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers never argued? You know when you never heard about their relationship going south? The year they won the Super Bowl and the year after they went 15-1. In fact, I've got an actual quote here. Aaron Rodgers, and I'm not picking on him, but he loved Mike McCarthy early. In fact, his quote was, you know, starting in 2010, that was the year they won the Super Bowl, Thursday afternoon, Mike and I would spend anywhere from 90 minutes to 4 hours, talk about football and life, lessons, thoughts, and dreams. I really appreciated that time with Mike, getting to know him on a personal level. Mike McCarthy and Aaron would spend 4 hours together just talking about life and stuff. Because in 2 years, nobody could really beat them. I want to see Green Bay and Aaron this weekend face Tampa. That's a real defense. Aaron's going to get sacked. He may get intercepted. They're going to have a lot of three and outs, and it's going to be ugly. And that's when a Hollywood couple can last. After the bomb, his career dovetails. She's the shining star in Hollywood, and he's now a character actor and can't get jobs. Then let's see how you get along. Let's see how these guys get along when they're not 13-3 last year. And let's see how they get along, because they didn't get along very well when Jordan Love got drafted. They got along at the end of last year, and they're getting along now, and they're playing bad defenses, and everything is great. And I am not saying they can't win the game, and I am not saying they won't get along, but everybody gets along when your career's on fire and you're winning. And by the way, Brady tolerated all that Belichick stuff. Did you ever notice this? Until all of a sudden they couldn't find a wide receiver for Tom. Started getting frustrated. And they lost to Tennessee and his pick sixes went up because his receivers couldn't separate. And Edelman's drops the last 2 years in New England skyrocketed. And Gronk got old. And suddenly 18 years of listening to his mentor, Bill Belichick, didn't want to listen to it quite as much. It wasn't as much fun. Patrick Mahomes looks pretty good, and Lamar looks pretty good, and the AFC's better, and Buffalo's better, and Edelman's dropping it, and Gronk is old, and we can't draft a wide receiver. And suddenly Bill didn't get along, and Tom didn't get along. Like, they didn't want to hear Bill bark at him all the time and call him out in front of the team. And everybody gets along when it's great, and you're winning in the NFL. It's like Jay Glazer always says. It's two different leagues. It's the you're driving to the stadium knowing you're going to win today, or there's driving to the stadium know you need to play perfect to win today. One's a great life and the other one is miserable. It's a miserable existence in the NFL driving to the stadium knowing. And by the way, when Aaron's, and I'm not blaming Aaron, but when he and McCarthy started losing games and Aaron couldn't win as many playoff games, then all of a sudden those four-hour conversations where they talked about life and dreams turned into about 60 minutes of uncomfortable. All right, yeah, okay, yeah, you bet. Mm-hmm, I got to go. Come on. 2010, he's talking about, oh, we spent 4 hours together. Yeah, you went 15-1. Then the previous year you won a Super Bowl. Everybody gets along in the NFL that way. Everybody. Tom and Belichick, when they're Randy Moss and Welker and Super Bowls and scoring and Tom's numbers, and they got along great. Not so great when Edelman started dropping it and Gronk started getting old. Okay, Joel Klatt and Will Blackman next hour. Will is a wine sommelier. He's very smart. And Joel Klatt, you know, he just thinks he knows a lot about college football. Somebody at this company has got to set Joel Klatt straight. This is my job. This is what I've been born to do. Take Joel Klatt and kind of, hey, this is the way you should think. He doesn't want to listen, but hope you enjoy that. Plus, Emmanuel Sanders is stopping by today. Danny Green, who on games, one night in L.A., they couldn't stand him. The next night, they loved him. Danny Green missed a little three-pointer, no good. Next night, wearing a crown, we love him. That's coming up.